Welcome to Brighton Broadcast News for Thursday, June 22nd, 2023. Mike Adams here. We've got a fantastic interview coming up today with Michael Yan in studio, back from Panama and the Darien Gap, with his latest report on the ongoing invasion of the United States. He's got a lot of new details to share with us. You don't want to miss this one. It's a big deal interview coming up. And, oh, by the way, I've kind of settled on this format of doing audio here at first to intro the show and cover the breaking news headlines, but then doing video in the studio for the guests. And one reason I'm doing it this way is because I can record the audio much later, many hours later after the studio video, and that way I can catch any other breaking news that happens in the evening. And also, because it's easier for me to record audio, I can use that studio time to do more interviews, so I can actually get more interviews done each week. So I think we're going to try this format. I appreciate your feedback. A lot of people told us they didn't really care what format it was, as long as they could just hear the information and you know, hear the interviews and so on. Some people love videos, some people don't care. But anyway, we're going to try it this way for a while and see how it goes. So Michael Yan coming up. Now, the other big news right now is, of course, this missing submarine. So this submarine, it's from a company called Ocean Gate, which has interesting implications we'll talk about. But this submarine, there were five people on board. Well, there are five people on board. Whether they're alive or dead is unknown at this point, at least as of the time I'm recording this. And time is running out. CEO is named Stockton Rush, and he did an interview where he was talking about he didn't want to hire 50-year-old white guys because they're not inspirational. He said he wanted younger people who are more inspiring. And so this is a kind of woke virtue signaling nonsense that we hear from a lot of companies that would rather have, you know, woke people than qualified people. And it turns out that there was a 51-year-old white guy that the company fired. His name is David Lockridge. They fired him because he was blowing the whistle on how dangerous the submarine was. Well, apparently that's not inspiring, you know, to want to do engineering, to want to do the math and calculate hull pressures and hull expansion and compression and, you know, like what's actually going to work. That's not inspirational. So here we go. The Ocean Gate submarine, which was attempting to go look at the Titanic wreckage at a depth of 13,000 feet. 13,000 feet. You can't survive. I mean, not even close to that. When I was trained as a scuba diver, I dove to the limit of my license, which was 20 meters. Okay? So I just dove to 20 meters just to see what that looked like. And I was sitting down there at 20 meters. I was off the coast of Australia at the Great Barrier Reef. And there was a swordfish just hovering there, by the way. And I was like, wow, man, I hope that thing leaves me alone. That's huge. And I went down to 20 meters and I looked up and I said to myself, like, this is the last time I ever want to be 20 meters deep. Because that is a big amount of water above me. Like, it's a long way up there to the surface. And if something goes wrong down here, that's not good. Well, that was only essentially, what, 60 feet or so? Imagine going to 1,000 feet or 10,000 or 13,000 feet. I mean, forget it. Something goes wrong, you're dead. Now, I know that's not inspiring and everything because you want to be all woke and virtue signaling. And, you know, the CEO of this company said he wanted to do things that nobody else has ever done before. And I guess he's achieved that because no one has ever committed submarine suicide at 13,000 feet of depth before. That's a brand new one. Brand new. So I guess there's a first for everything. And I don't mean to be flippant about it, but if you fire the 51-year-old white guy engineers that can actually do the math, and then instead you want inspiring, virtue signaling, woke people who can't do math, because of course they never had to pass any tests in school, because they were given passing grades just because of their virtue signaling or their skin color or their trans status or whatever, guess what happens? You throw all that combination together, you get catastrophic hull failure, which looks increasingly likely that that's what happened. We don't know yet. But by the time you hear this, they will have run out of any oxygen that could have been remaining. But even then, you know, it's funny, you hear the news saying the, you know, they have 40 hours of oxygen left, or they have 20 hours of oxygen. They don't even know. They have no idea if the hull is even intact and if the hull has imploded. All right, we could do the math on this. I'm not going to do it right now, but imagine if they're at a depth of 10,000 feet. What is the PSI on that hull from ocean water? In other words, what's the weight of a column of water that's 10,000 feet tall? I guarantee you that if that hull fails, it's over in a split second. You're done. It doesn't matter how much oxygen you have. You're done. But these news people are like, they could still have air. Probably not. They're probably already dead. Unless by some miracle, maybe they released, you know, a weight and the submarine is making its way to the surface slowly, but they've lost power and they're in the dark and they're probably freezing because it's really cold down there, by the way. I don't know if you knew that, but it's cold. It's cold at depth. So hypothermia, no electricity, no comms, running out of air, and maybe the hull fractured as well, because the 51-year-old white guy that they fired, David Lockridge, he was warning about the fact that the hull is a carbon fiber hull. It's not metal, it's carbon fiber. And he issued a report that said there were, quote, numerous issues that posed serious safety concerns. Yeah. Said there were visible flaws in the carbon fiber supplied to OceanGate. And he said that those small flaws could expand into larger tears during pressure cycling. And pressure cycling is when the submarine experiences pressure changes as it's going down or up, you know, changes in depth. And, you know, understand that the inside of the submarine is not pressurized to the same pressure as the water on the outside. Because, well, it would take you weeks to resurface, you know, because of the laws of physics and the solubility of carbon dioxide and things like that. But the point is, the hull has to obviously withstand the pressure of the water, and it's cycling in pressures. It's moving up and down, and these can cause a contraction, expansion, over and over again. And how do you make a small tear a big tear? Oh, cycling the contraction and expansion. And then if the hull, oh, and he said, by the way, a scale model of the hull had, quote, prevalent flaws. And in there was a court filing about him, by the way, from 2018. He was fired in 2018, but he had a court filing. He said, quote, now is the time to properly address items that may pose a safety risk to personnel. He says, verbal communication of the key items I have addressed in my attached document have been dismissed on several occasions. In other words, he was trying to tell people, hey, that's a suicide machine. And they said, stop being negative, right? You're a 51-year-old white guy. Nobody cares. We want to be inspirational. Stop being negative. Don't get everybody down by talking about things like expansion coefficients. You know, how dare you invoke math? Math is racist, didn't you know? So he writes, so I feel now I must make this report so there is an official record in place. Huh? He was well ahead of his time. He said that the system would not reveal flaws until the vessel was descending, and then this kind of crack detection system could only provide milliseconds of warning before a catastrophic implosion. Milliseconds. Not even a second. Like milliseconds, like beep, beep, beep. Hey, what is that? Oh, you're done. You have like 100,000 pounds crushing your skull. Okay. Per square inch. Let's see. So this guy, Lockridge, says that he was told by the company that the manufacturers of the forward viewport of the Titan the submarine. Yeah, I guess it's called Titan. The forward viewpoint, you know that little porthole that you look out? Is only certified to a depth of 1,300 meters. Okay, so 1,300 meters. The submarine was sent to almost 4,000 meters below the surface of the ocean. certified to 1,300 meters for the porthole, but they pushed it to nearly 4,000 meters. Again, math is racist. Don't forget, math is racist. If you don't think that 1,300 is less than 4,000, you might be a racist 50-year-old white guy. Okay. So here we have another case. You've seen woke companies run by libtards in the banking industry, like Silicon Valley Bank and First National, whatever, focused on like Lesbian Day while losing customer accounts. But at least nobody just suddenly died in that case. They lose a lot of people's money, yeah, but then the government bails them out. Oh, you can just be woketards and we'll bail you out. The problem is you can't be woketards at 13,000 feet depth because there's nobody to bail you out. And by the way, as long as you're doing experimental death challenges, they should have taken some mRNA vaccines with them in the submarine and injected some experimental bioweapons while they're inside the experimental carbon fiber hull. I mean, if you're gonna risk it all, go all the way there, huh? So, the fact that as of this moment, as I'm recording this, we have not heard from these people, and we have not seen the submarine resurface, probably means they're dead. And so wokeism has consequences. Being positive can get you killed if it causes you to ignore reality. Now, that's an important lesson for a lot of my listeners. And some people say, you need to be positive. Well, what about the pounds per square inch on the hull? Don't worry about that. What about Russia's nuclear weapons attack that seems imminent? Oh, don't talk about it. Negative, too negative. So I guess the new engineering companies of the virtue signaling engineers, you know, they're building, let's say, bridges or designing bridges. They don't need to do math because math is racist, obviously, but they need to stay positive. They need to have an inspirational rainbow-colored bridge. Call it the Pride Bridge. And who needs math? Who needs engineering? The first truck drives over the bridge. The whole bridge collapses. Oh, it's Trump's fault. Right? Because this is what it's coming to. Doctors, same thing. The medical schools are now teaching wokeism instead of physiology. In fact, under the AMA, which has gone insane, medical schools across America are teaching doctors to perform imaginary procedures on biological men who think they have women's reproductive organs. Like OBGYN procedures, for men. And a doctor is trained to go along with that instead of saying, you might be mentally ill. Maybe let's take you to a different doctor. It's a whole different wing of this hospital. By the way, more of a padded room wing. But no, doctors are trained to go along with wokeism. Engineers are being given jobs based on things like the color of their skin or how gay they are, instead of how well they can do math and what good engineers they might be. And so meritocracy has been thrown overboard, and this is going to cause the whole country to sink faster than the Ocean Gate submarine. It reminds me of the Beatles, right? Except a little variation. We all died in a yellow submarine. I don't mean to mock it, but seriously, if you're going to put your life in a contraption like that, you should probably hire competent people. And I hope that these people aren't dead. I hope that they show up on the surface of the ocean looking all good. Yeah, it's all good. We just went down, we went up, we were joking, we turned off the lights, it's all good. But I doubt that's going to happen. And by the way, the media talking about this, I'm sorry to dwell on this topic, but you got to understand the fake news media is implying that there could be some kind of a rescue mission. As if like you could send down a U.S. Navy submarine to that depth and just pick these people up. And I know those of you in the Navy are laughing. Because there is no submarine that goes to that depth. Not even close. Not even... No. There are only two vehicles on the planet that can go to that depth. And one of them is a robot. So what are you going to do? Grab the robot. Except you would die from exiting the Ocean Gate submarine because it's not, you know, the people aren't obviously pressurized to the pressure of the ocean water at that depth. And even if they were, they would die upon surfacing. So you can't just send a vehicle down there and rescue these people. You can't just send a crane down there or like a scuba diver. Hey, you want to dive down to 13,000 feet with some flippers and a mask and connect this cable to the crane and we'll just haul this thing up. That's the way the news media imagines that this might happen. Like you could have Navy divers down there just at 13,000 feet. No, you would die. You wouldn't even make it that far. You would die going down and you'd certainly die coming back up. You know, ever heard of decompression? Hyperbaric chambers? Come on. Physics. I mean, we learned this in scuba diving training even. You just go down 20 feet for 30 minutes or something, and guess what? You have to decompress. On your way up, you have to come up slowly, and there's math behind that. We had to learn the math. And we were told by the instructor that one person on the trip didn't want to heed the warning, and that this person had a stuffy sinuses. Yeah, all stuffed up, but wanted to do the dive anyway because they'd flown from somewhere across the world and didn't want to miss the dive at the Great Barrier Reef. So they dove down, and of course their body pressurized with the ocean pressure at that depth, and spent some time down there, resurfaced, and of course that's when the CO2 expands in your blood. Resurfaced and blew out a giant wad of mucus out of their forehead into their mask. It just, the sinus passage, like between the eyes, kind of above the nose, just kind of blew out giant mucus puke in their mask and a lot of blood. Oh, you just blew a sinus passage because you didn't do the math. I see. Okay. Yeah. Not a nice way to enjoy a scuba dive. But hey, decisions have consequences. And this is what is kind of one of the key lessons I've been trying to impart to anybody who cares to listen, whether it comes to economics, finance, nuclear war, you know, food, pollution, heavy metals, whatever. Decisions have consequences. You take certain actions and some of them are not reversible. Most of them are not. You put yourself in an experimental submarine hull and you drop down at 13,000 feet. You are beyond the tipping point of recoverability. Something goes wrong, you're dead, and that's probably what has happened. So anyway, enough on that. Sorry to dwell on it. It's just, it's the perfect example of another woke corporation literally sinking and dying. I mean, that's what it seems like so far. I hope they haven't died. I hope they come back and still can breathe and talk, but probably they, most likely their bodies will be down there for a very long time, because even salvaging the bodies inside the submarine is a whole nother mission. And who's going to do that? Who's going to go down there and do that mission? Yeah, it's probably safer to go to the moon. Seriously, it's safer to go into orbit, that's for sure. Oh, actually, there's one more story I got to tell you about this from the Telegraph. Here's the title. Voyage to Titanic Wreckage is a, quote, suicide mission, says a German explorer. His name is Arthur Leubel, who rode in that submarine in 2021. He went to see the Titanic in that submarine, and he said he was, quote, incredibly lucky to survive. He's a German adventurer. And it's been written up in Bild, the German newspaper. This guy, Arthur, is now 60. He said, quote, this is a quote, it was a suicide mission back then. And he said on his first voyage, the sub didn't work and there were electrical problems. And he said he was on the voyage with the CEO, the same guy Stockton Rush, who said he fires 50-year-old white guys. And he said the submarine frequently lost contact with the surface, and they were only diving at 1,600 meters. He says, quote, my mission was the fifth mission for that submarine, but we also went into the water 5 hours late due to electrical problems. And then before the launch, the stabilization tube, which is supposed to provide balance to the submarine as it descends It fell off. And he said, quote, it was reattached with zip ties. Oh, joy. I mean, I use zip ties all over the ranch, on the farm, you know. Not on a submarine going to 13,000 feet with five people inside. But this guy's sounding the alarm. A lot of other people sounding the alarm. Let's see, a rear admiral in the Royal Navy wondered why anybody would get into, quote, a dodgy piece of technology. Yeah, like the Titan. Dodgy. It's dodgy, yeah. Like you're going to die in there, probably. Why on earth would you go into a dodgy piece of technology where you actually have to sign away any right to sue the company for emotional damage, injury, and death is beyond me. It is fundamentally dangerous. There was no backup plan. It's experimental, and I'm afraid to say there's an element of hubris if you want to go down and do that. And when he was asked, what's the chance of these people being found alive, he said, quote, I'm afraid the odds are vanishingly small. Which is another way of saying almost zero. Yeah. But the point in this, I don't focus on one submarine usually. This is a lesson. It's a lesson about everything. About your money, your bank accounts. It's about your freedoms, the future of your country. It's about elections. It's about medicine, vaccines, bioweapons, war, everything. Energy. Is that we live in a world where woke people are so delusional that they have been brainwashed into rejecting reality. Whether it's on issues of biology, oh, men can get pregnant. Or issues of energy, oh, carbon dioxide is a poison, we're all going to die unless we stop driving cars. Or issues of transgenderism, oh, mutilate the children, it's good for them, they love it. Cut off their organs, it's all affirming. All right, and these issues and many more. You know, universities, they're racist against Asian people. They're racist against white people. They advance people of color who in many cases are not qualified, or people who are, you know, lesbians or gays or transgenders who are otherwise not qualified. And so as a result, society becomes more and more like Idiocracy. Your banks start to fail. Your bridges start to fall down. Oh, we've seen that recently. Your buildings start to fail. Your government starts to fail. Your currency starts to fail. Your military starts to fail. Have you seen that? Your borders fail. Your transportation fails. Your infrastructure fails. And then you find out one day you can't get an intelligent person to speak to you anywhere, at any business, at a doctor's appointment, a banking consult, you know, a university. Like everybody's an idiot all of a sudden, right? We are there. We are there. And in a sense, we're all trapped inside a sinking submarine. It's like the woke sub. And we're all inside it. The hull has already started to fail. It's going deeper. And the catastrophic implosion of, you know, hundreds of thousands of pounds of seawater is just moments away. And that's going to be the end of America, by the way. It's going to be the end of the dollar, the end of the government as we know it, the end of life as you know it, the end of Western civilization as this banking system collapses. Because believe me, when you have lunatic, insane, quote, economists who have no idea what they're talking about, but they're winning, you know, all kinds of Pulitzer Prizes or other economic prizes, or journalists, so-called journalists, who just invent false stories at the Washington Post and they win a Pulitzer, then you know things have gone horribly wrong in society. I mean, look at what the New York Times calls economics. It's just magical monetary theory. It's MMT. It's just printing money because, oh, it all makes sense because it's woke. But no, it will lead to catastrophe. So the submarine is a metaphor for all of society right now under wokeism. Now, it doesn't mean the submarine won't magically surface here, by the way. There could be a stroke of luck, and maybe it will, and I hope it does. It could surface with dead bodies inside, or it could surface with maybe people still living. We don't know. Or it may never surface, may never be found. But that's where we are with society. We could lose our republic. We could perhaps, maybe it could be saved, But not everybody's going to be alive. Some people are probably not going to make it. But trust me, we are deep underwater right now with our republic. We've lost our free speech rights. We've lost the First Amendment. The Second Amendment's under attack. Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, Tenth Amendment, all under extreme attack. Due process, 14th Amendment. It's all under attack. We've lost it. You know, half the Supreme Court justices, or slightly less than half, are like libtard lunatics who have no business being on any court, much less the highest court of the land. I mean, a couple of them wouldn't even qualify as, you know, like mail boys for the court, for any like local county court. It's incredible. Or male girls in one case. But the point is, we are already deep. We're so far gone. How do we ever come back from this? And the answer is not clear. I mean, it's probably going to end in collapse. And then there will have to be, you know, obviously a new society on the other side of that. Now, with that said, let's move on to the next story, because it actually is related. And this is one of those stories that you're going to also have a hard time believing at first. But across U.S. hospitals now, they're going to start denying you health care due to climate change. So this story comes out of Climate Depot. And it talks about how the Cancer Society fretted over the carbon footprint of cancer care. So right now, the USA faces a drug shortage. But Politico is now reporting that hospitals are turning into, quote, climate change fighting machines to reduce things like anesthetic gas and to, you know, quote, save energy, to not treat people, even though they might medically need treatment. And where this is going is that soon a hospital treatment will be assigned a climate change score. And if you are medically justified for that treatment, they will check your climate change allotment, which will be part of your, you know, your central bank digital currency system and your social scoring system. You're only going to have a certain amount of carbon credits. You know, you'll have to factor that into all your transportation, your food consumption. If you eat meat, oh my, if you run electricity, if you have a computer, if you run air conditioning, all of it's going to go into your carbon footprint allotment. And then if you've used up all your carbon footprints, your carbon credits, then you go to the hospital and they say, oh, you need this, but oh, the carbon footprint's too high for that treatment. Sorry, we can't give it to you. So, you know, you cut yourself, you go to the emergency room, oh, we can't treat you because you've used up all your carbon credits. That's what's coming. And in fact, everywhere you go across society, when you try to purchase something, not just a medical procedure or prescription, but also groceries, food at a restaurant, a hamburger, let's say, or whatever else, just groceries. Oh, I want a bag of chips at the grocery store. Oh, by the way, yesterday was the end of the world, according to Greta Thunberg. You know, Little Miss Bossy Pants, climate change. She said back in 2018, on June 21st of 2018, in fact, she tweeted that we had only 5 years or all of humanity would be wiped out. So that was her tweet from 5 years ago. That, quote, climate change will wipe out all of humanity unless we stop using fossil fuels over the next 5 years. So if you're still alive, consider yourself very, very lucky, according to Greta Thunberg. Now, of course, these climate cultists, they don't understand real threats to humanity. You know, like, well, nuclear war, money printing, massive chemical contamination of the food supply, chemtrails, geoengineering, sucking CO2 out of the atmosphere, which will cause plants to die, which will cause ecosystems to collapse. No, they don't talk about that. They say that if you drive your car, we'll all be dead in 5 years, but the 5 years is up. So people all over Twitter apparently are tweeting Greta Thunberg to tell her that they're still alive. We made it. We survived the end of the world, according to Little Miss Greta Thunderpants. But just because the world didn't end due to a climate crisis yesterday doesn't mean that they're dropping the climate crisis narrative. You notice how Al Gore's predictions never came true about the end of the world in, what, 2010? And I forgot the years he predicted. The sea levels aren't even rising any measurable amount, maybe a couple of millimeters, and that's it. I mean, nothing that the human eye would notice. Where's the giant flooding of New York? I thought they were telling us Florida would disappear under the ocean. I thought the Statue of Liberty was going to be half buried under ocean water at this point. That's what they showed us, right? Oh, just the tip of the statue, just the torch out the top, and maybe the head and the crown. None of that's happened. It's all nonsense. It's all just fear-mongering from the climate lunatics. What this is really about is providing a cover story to alter the atmospheric chemistry of the planet in a geoengineering process, which is really terraforming. Terraforming to alter planet Earth to make it less hospitable to human life. That's what this is all about. I covered this the other day. You take CO2 out of the atmosphere, of course, you destroy plants' ability to engage in photosynthesis, which means you start suppressing plant ecosystems, food crops, rainforests, and also aquatic ecosystems, you know, the plants in the ocean. Lots of plants in the ocean. If you've ever gone scuba diving, you know what I'm talking about, all kinds of vegetables in the ocean. So people think that's funny. It's like, what do you mean? It's vegetables in the ocean? Yeah, they're all over the place. What do you think some of the fish eat down there? They're eating seagrasses and things, seaweeds. Why do you think they're called seaweeds? Because they're everywhere. They grow all over the place down there. Not at 13,000 feet, you know, where the submarine is, but closer to the surface where sunlight can penetrate, obviously. The more sunlight you have, the more photosynthesis is possible, and that's why there's a teeming ecosystems of life near the surface of the ocean, near coastlines and coral reefs and so on, right? But apparently that was all supposed to have ended yesterday, so consider yourself lucky to be alive. Now, actually, in a sense, we are lucky to be alive because of the nuclear war threat that I've been talking about, but if only these climate cultists would focus on the actual threats to humanity instead of their made-up imaginary threats, we would all be better off. You notice how the leftists, everything they talk about is imaginary. You know, transgenderism, climate crisis, you know, magical money, money printing. It's all made-up stuff. All their fears are made up, too, by the way. They're afraid that Trump is going to be a racist lunatic emperor who wants to murder everybody. No, this is what the left wants to do. But their fears against conservatives and Christians are all imaginary. Their fears against, you know, white people are all made up. Their fears about climate, all imaginary. They live in their own personal hellscapes of imagined problems and crises only in their own mind, while they ignore the reality of real threats to us, such as nuclear war, for example, or economic collapse, or, you know, failed currencies, failed governments, loss of liberties, you know, government suppression of free speech, these kinds of things. So must be really amazing to live inside the head of a leftist where everything that you believe is false, and yet at the same time, everything that's true in the real world, you don't believe it. You reject it because it contradicts with your false reality. Can you imagine living in the mind of Greta Thunberg? That might be more horrifying than living inside the submarine at 13,000 feet, come to think of it. It's like, the hull is cracking. What are you referring to? The carbon fiber? No, the psychological barrier of truth here. This is going to be a catastrophic implosion. What are you talking about? It must suck to go through life inside the head of a climate cultist, thinking that the world is going to end because of water at every moment. Just amazing. So if you want to be free, you're going to need to be part of the parallel economy where you're not controlled by the central bank digital currencies and government financial surveillance, and you're not limited by carbon credits and other nonsense. And as you know, I'm working very hard to build part of the parallel economy across our platforms. In fact, we have a lot of really exciting announcements coming up later this year. Maybe, yeah, actually some of them are going to be this summer. We're doing some very innovative things, and you're going to be amazed when this all gets rolled out. And we're launching a new show. It's about decentralized living. And I'm not quite ready to announce the official show name or website, but it will be live next week. So I will announce it then, and you'll be able to see the first episode next week. It's going to be pretty cool. And we've got a lot of guests lined up who are pioneers in various projects that have to do with privacy and decentralization, peer-to-peer technologies, parallel economy, getting off the grid, the control grid of rogue governments, and actually being able to live as a free individual. So all that's coming up. But just remember, you won't be able to rely on mainstream institutions like hospitals or, frankly, even grocery stores or whatever, because they're going to control and restrict all of your abilities to buy or sell or trade or spend or whatever to try to control you. And that's, you know, it's the system's going to fail ultimately, but they're going to try it. They're going to try total tyranny, and they're going to try to see how many people go along with it. Of course, the bad news for the controllers is that most of the people who are dumb enough to sign up for that system were also dumb enough to keep taking vaccine shots, and a lot of them are going to be dead, which means there's not going to be a lot of people using that system. I mean, by definition. So those who reject it are also people who rejected the nonsense mRNA jabs, you know, the bioweapons. And that's probably you. And so that's why you and I have a future. By the way, a quick update. I finally got Monero wallets to sync after 4 days of downloading the blockchain. Monero is a really interesting coin. It's probably the most successful privacy coin, and we actually have an interview lined up with somebody who's involved in Monero, so that's going to be pretty cool. And yet, Monero has this big kind of bulky blockchain. It takes a long time to sync it. But I got to say, the Monero GUI wallet is the easiest mining setup that I've ever seen. Once the blockchain syncs, you can go to, I think it's advanced, and you can click on the mining tab, and you can just start mining. And it'll start issuing you small rewards for your mining contributions. So I've done mining of other currencies, and it's such a hassle. Oh, it's a massive headache, and you have to know all the command line parameters, and you have to download all these special tools. Monero mining is the easiest that I've seen yet. Super, super easy to mine. And, you know, as with all mining, if you mine long enough, you might not be a millionaire, but you'll be a dollionaire. You will collect, eventually, a dollar's worth of mining rewards. Yeah, mining doesn't pay much. You have to have a whole warehouse full of miners to actually make it, you know, to produce much of anything. It's not worth it. Unless you're a big, dedicated mining company or something. But you can do it if you want, just as a proof of concept. And it does help make the Monero ecosystem stronger, because more miners makes it less prone to mining attacks and so on. So anyway, I guess every project has its advantages and disadvantages, and that's part of what we're going to be surveying in our new show, is looking at new projects, talking to founders, and actually going through the process of asking questions, trying projects, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't work, and sharing our findings with you. And it's a crypto-neutral show. We're not there to push just one coin or one portfolio. We're there to look at everything that's available. And probably the things that we get excited about will change over time as new technology rolls out. But it's going to be amazing. I really look forward to bringing you this new show. You're going to learn a lot. And it's all about freedom and privacy and mobility and having control over your life. And it's not just about crypto. It's also about decentralized food and decentralized government and decentralized, I don't know, whatever, transportation. There's a lot. You're going to see a lot. Should be interesting. Well, like, here's an example. You know, Michael Flynn is involved in the launch of a new site called ForThePure.com. It's the digit four, the numeral four, for thepure.com. And this site is where unvaccinated people can meet and do things like, well, how to meet friends and go on dates. There's a blood bank for pure blood donors. There's a fertility option here, which I'm not sure what that does, but I don't know, maybe, I don't know, sperm donors who are unvaccinated? I don't know, or maybe people that just want to have healthy families? I'm not sure, but anyway, we're going to reach out to this group and see if they can come on for an interview. General Michael Flynn is part of it, by the way. But see, this is kind of decentralization I'm talking about. If you need blood, maybe you have an elective surgical procedure coming up and you know you're going to need blood. You don't want vaccine-tainted blood, like death zombie blood, right? You want pure blood, maybe even your own. But if you can't donate your own ahead of time, you want blood from other pure bloods who are not, you know, tainted by mRNA. So there's a blood bank on here that, and that's decentralization. It's a parallel economy that runs parallel to the mainstream blood bank system, which is a joke. I mean, they'll let people donate blood who have all kinds of diseases. They don't care. I mean, it took them years to start screening for HIV, and even that, I don't even think they're doing a good job on that. But anyway, just another example of the kind of thing that is decentralized. And we need to decentralize, which also means going local with homeschooling and education, you know, food, farming, local government, local defense, you know, community defense planning against the coming zombie waves or the coming attack from communist China on the domestic continental United States. Lots of things that need to be decentralized, and that's what we're all about. Sharing those resources and educating people on those subjects. And by the way, since we've talked about vaccines here and pure blood, Steve Kirsch is offering to donate $50,000 if vaccine promoter Paul Offit takes the entire CDC recommended vaccine schedule for children in one sitting. All right, so Dr. Paul Offit, you know, a patent holder, vaccine inventor, I think, of the rotavirus vaccine, or one of them, and he's been a longtime vaccine promoter. Now, he's not like one of these clowns like Hotez, by the way. Like Offit, I don't know. I mean, I guess people have different opinions, but Offit hasn't gone totally off the rails like a lot of other people, but he is a vaccine promoter big time. So Steve Kirsch says he'll give him $50,000 if he takes all the vaccines all at once. And he points out that according to Paul Offit, that this challenge is completely safe because there are no contraindications on the FDA labels of the vaccines that would indicate that it's unsafe, and that Paul Offit had previously said that healthy infants could take up to 100,000 vaccines at once. And so we're only talking about 18 vaccines here for children, 18 vaccines in one sitting. So $50,000, that's like $2,500 per vaccine, a little more. So Dr. Paul Offit, you want to get paid $2,500 per vaccine to take 18 vaccines back to back? There you go. There's a challenge. Now, if he develops conditions after that, should he even decide to take this on, I'm not sure that Dr. Paul Offit needs $50,000, but maybe he wants to prove a point. Maybe he wants to take him and hope that he's all good, you know? But I would say, I mean, this is not directed to Dr. Offit, but to people like Hotez and others. How about this? I'll pay you $100,000 if you take 18 vaccines while riding in the Titan submarine at 13,000 feet. How about that? There's a challenge for you. That is, if they can ever find that submarine. Now, that's not an official challenge. That's sarcasm, by the way. Not that anybody like Hotez would ever get into one of those submarines. But then again, you know, they do want to push risks on you. They just don't want to take the risks themselves often, right? So they're like, you take the vaccine, but I'm not going to sometimes. A lot of vaccine promoters are like that. They're not even taking real vaccines themselves in certain cases. We've seen that with politicians on TV. Like, oh, the needle didn't even go in. Or the needle was empty, you know, the syringe was empty. These fake TV vaccinations among politicians that act like they got the jab, but they didn't. Yeah, we've all seen that. But yeah, if you want to challenge, take the Titan submarine. There you go. There's a life challenge for you. Okay, wow. Michael Yan just texted me right now. Here's his text. He says that Google Earth is now deleting the invasion camps off of the satellite maps near Darien, Panama. So Michael Yan has gone to these camps himself. It's the, what is it, Lajas Blancas camp and San Vicente camp and some others he's been to. You go on Google Earth, those camps don't exist. Wiped off the satellite. Yeah, of course, because Google's all part of the conspiracy for the invasion of the United States. So, whew, yeah, not surprising, but stay tuned. We got a lot of really exciting announcements coming up. Again, the new show launching next week, new features across our platforms that are going to be announced, a lot of new things. And we thank you for your support. HealthRangerStore.com is where you can shop, of course, for our lab-verified, certified organic products, storable food, nutritional supplements, personal care products, you know, superfoods, the whole deal. Check it out. You're going to find a lot of things there, even dishwasher detergent for your automatic dishwasher, laundry detergent that isn't heavily saturated with toxic fragrance chemicals. Imagine that. Because we want you to live and be successful instead of some other companies that seemingly want you to die. Isn't it amazing? We're living in some kind of a corporate death cult right now. Everything they produce increases your risk of death. And there aren't very many companies like us that are actually trying to keep people alive and healthy and fertile, by the way, because reproduction is the future of the human race. So we thank you for your support, healthrangerstore.com. With that said, let's jump into the interview with Michael Yan here, talking about the invasion, the latest update from the Darien Gap in Panama, where Google is concealing the camps from the satellite maps, and new information about the border and about how the U.S. State Department is actively funding the expansion of these camps in Panama so that there can be a much larger invasion force that is unleashed against us, we the people, the actual Americans. This is our country, but the invasion is on. So Michael Yan coming up next right here on Brighteon Broadcast News. Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon, and joining me in studio, back from numerous dangerous adventures in Central America, the Darien Gap, and watching the invasion of America through Central America, is none other than Michael Yan. Michael, welcome back. It's great to have you in studio. I'm just glad you're back safely.
Thanks. Made it back again. Been quite an interesting trip, this last one.
I would say so.
Multiple trips to the Darien Gap, for those who don't know, is that gap between Colombia and Panama. Actually, down there, they call it the tampon, which is a plug, right? And it's about 60 miles of no roads, just epic jungle and mountains and a lot of killers. And for instance, we can talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, I mean, thieves and rapists and all kinds of horrible things going on down there.
I meant to bring a rape kit. I left it in the Jeep. Yeah.
Oh, is it just right out there?
If he's still there.
The Jeep's gone.
Yeah. I brought a rape kit that they hand out in Colombia.
Okay.
U.S. taxpayer money. Right. And the rape kit is because the women and children get raped going through the Darien Gap. And so it's handed out by the United Nations, right?
Right.
And but United States obviously is a big funder of that. So, and it's got male condoms, female condoms. It's got
birth control pills, abortion pills.
Yeah, abortion pills. Yeah, and you know a few other items like that. So it's an actual rape kit.
Wow. And the U.S. I mean, that's an admission that they know how dangerous it is. But okay, so let's back up a little bit because the last time we interviewed you, you were there, and we were talking to people there.
Oh, that's right.
Right? Some of the Chinese couple was there, mm-hmm. and then that family from Venezuela.
The Chinese couple made it to the United States.
How do you know that?
Because we message.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That Chinese couple?
Mm-hmm. If it's the one I'm thinking of, yeah.
Yeah, they seemed real friendly.
Yeah.
A young man and woman that got on the bus.
Yeah. Some Some have stayed in contact, and various others as well, Haitians and Venezuelans. And so, yeah, some of them I stay in contact with. And one Haitian family that we got in contact with 2.5 years ago now, there was a 16-year-old girl and her brother, Michael, I think was 12, and their mother, and they made it to New Jersey. And the girl's name is Medese Batiste, and she has a Facebook page. And Medese would put on her Facebook page that how sick she was of New Jersey. They made it to New Jersey.
Yeah.
After going through the Darien Gap and Costa Nicaragua and all these things, we met them up. We met them in Colombia, right? We got to know them in Colombia when they were just about to go into the Gap, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so then they took off into the Gap. We stayed in contact. They made it out alive. Some harrowing calls, actually. And then then we met them again in Mexico, right? And they were in Tapachula, Mexico, which is sort of like the El Paso of Mexico. It's on the Guatemala border, right? And so they told us all these terrible stories. And then they made it to New Jersey. So Medese Batiste is her name. You can find her on Facebook. You know, at first she's like, hey, we made it, you know? And then she gets bored. And finally she's like, I want to go back to Haiti.
No kidding.
You can't even make up stuff.
New Jersey is so bad.
Yeah. I mean, she doesn't like it. She wants to go back to Haiti. I mean, that's strange. I mean, you just never know what's next.
Well, yeah, true. I mean, despite all the benefits that the Democrats give out to illegal immigrants, the Democrat cities are collapsing so rapidly that some of these folks want to go back home. I mean,
yeah.
But there are a couple of burning questions I got to ask you about all of this. I don't understand. Even after all this, we've done multiple interviews and you've put out incredible video footage that's been shared by General Michael Flynn and many others, members of Congress and senators and so on. I don't understand how these people are able to still have money to pay for the buses, for example, to get to Costa Rica. You know, after they go through the Darien Gap, aren't they robbed of everything? Or
There's numerous ways. One is the buses, by the way. There's 30 to 40 buses a day. They're adding buses right now, by the way.
Yeah.
And these are big luxury buses, which I've published videos of these many times.
Yeah.
If they don't have money, they can just go for free. However,
how's that?
Because we'll pay for it.
Who, the U.S. pays for it?
Well, the United States, the embassy, by the way, sent sort of a blocking team for when I just went to the Darien Gap last time.
Yeah.
They were actually trying to keep me out of Panama, bottom line.
No right? kidding.
Yep. And one of the things that they brought up was that I was lying, saying that the United States is paying for this. And I was like, hold on. I've already published photos of our flag inside the camps saying we pay for it. And it's on, you can see on my Twitter.
Right.
It's like, it's not an actually flying flag, but it's a, you know, a photo of our flag and the EU and UN. And it's saying something like gratis United States or Estados Unidos or something. You can see it. I mean, we actually have signs in the camp saying we're paying for it. Meanwhile, our embassy is like, we're not paying for it. I'm like, well, there's the sign. Take it down. We're clearly paying for it. So anyway, okay. Go ahead, sir.
So to be clear, so U.S. taxpayer dollars are being used to transport illegals across, well, through Central America up into Mexico to cross the border illegally into the United States. That's for sure.
And straight up Chinese spies, for sure.
And Chinese spies.
We can talk in detail about Chinese spies, and I can actually, anyway.
Mr.
Itchy. And in fact, he just messaged me that he might see this. If you're watching,
really,
Lucian?
Yeah, that dude.
Follow my Twitter.
He was more itchy and scratchy than anyone I've ever seen.
And he would understand everything we're saying right now. His English is perfect.
Oh,
right?
okay.
And we know you're a spy, of course. And there's a high chance he'll see this,
okay.
Right? And he'll message me, right?
Right.
And so anyway, so interesting on that. But the bottom line is that camp that he went to, San Vicente Camp in Darien Province, after the aliens leave the Darien Gap, they'll come into these several camps. One is called Las Blancas. Another one's called San Vicente. And then there's a couple more, but the Chinese tend to go to San Vicente. That's the nicest camp. That's the one in April of 2022 that, Secretary of Homeland Security, Alexandro Mayorkas went to that camp. I waited for him for about 4 days. When he went into the camp, I launched drone, and I've got drone footage of him in the camp. Now, we've more than doubled the size of the camp since he left, right? And I'll tell you some very interesting things. So I've got drone footage from about June third. And so that just happened. I just made it, right? Yeah. And so that was, he was just there again this April. And you can see that, I put it on Twitter, the difference between the camp in April of 2022 and April 2023 is extraordinary. And that's just one camp.
And it's grown in size.
Oh, extraordinarily. It's like way over twice as big.
But after our last interview, Biden and Mayorkas announced they're shutting down the camps.
That's a lie.
Total lie.
Straight up lie. Yeah. You cannot, they cannot lie about Darien Gap. I've set up Humint there for, I've got extensive networks.
You know,
there is no way that you can, that they can lie about Darien. Like when our helicopters are flying over, which they are frequently, Blackhawks. Recently, there was a CH-47, you know, Chinook, and a couple of Blackhawks flying, and I was getting almost live video footage, like a minute later. So I asked Southcom, Southern Command, like, why are our Blackhawks, because Panama doesn't have Blackhawks, they don't have Chinooks, they only have, like, Eurocopters, and they've got two UH-1s, the helicopters,
really?
Right? Yeah, that's okay. All, they, and they've got just a handful of helicopters. In fact, I was just on their UH-1s. I didn't fly on them, but they had landed them for something over, anyway, near that camp, and I happened to be there with the commander and stuff. But anyway, bottom line is they were not Panamanian helicopters. So I asked Southcom, why are our helicopters flying in Darien Gap, right? So the commander of Southcom, Laura Richardson, she's a commanding general, she said that, because I was wondering if there was 160 people that had just died. So this would have been, this was recently, right? You can find that maybe in the news. They had died from flash flooding because the aliens will tend to sleep right next to the rivers. This is a serious jungle. And the only comfortable place to sleep is on those rocks by the river. But this is a rainforest and those are mountains. And so they get washed away constantly. They get washed away in their tents, floating down the river. They can't get out in time. Wow. And so about 160 died in that one flash flood. But Laura, the commanding general, said that we were just bringing building materials for INL, I think she said, which is some kind of, I had to look it up. It's some kind of counter-narcotics thing for State Department. But anyway, bottom line is, we are operating out there, and we are clearly increasing the flow. We are clearly not
but
shutting
again,
it down.
But again, we say we, you mean the United States.
United States.
Government.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Now, that camp, San Vicente Camp, where Mayorkas has been at least twice, yeah. Right? The one, that's where the Chinese go. We're literally funding the camp that Chinese spies are moving through and staying at. You
no.
can't. I just put it on Twitter a couple of days ago, and I hash marked to CIA, FBI, DHS, Southcom, and others, NSA, and you know everybody knows we're doing this. When I say we, the United States government is straight up doing it. We are increasing the flow. Jordan Peterson just messaged me last night about let's go down there. Right? He wants to go down. I'll take him. I'll take you. I mean, we can go down there. You'll see. And when you talk with the people down there, the Indians, Imbara Indians, Kuna Indians, Wunan, and the Panamanian locals and the Cinefront, all of them will tell you the flow is increasing dramatically. We had a hunt. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, this is fascinating, but of course I have so many questions about this. So, but I think it's okay for me to say this publicly. If not, I'll edit this out. But you told me that sometimes at night you witness groups of Chinese nationals meeting on the road outside of the San Vicente camp and being handed money by some coordinator. So there's some communist Chinese coordinator there that just hands out cash to the spies that are coming through this network, right?
I've got video of happening in the morning.
In the morning, early
morning?
Now,
they come out at nighttime. You're okay. Accurate on that. That's why I often wait there at night because they will tend to talk more at night and they tend to come out at night anyway because of it's
the freaks come out at night.
Yeah, and also it's just super hot, and so it's just better to walk at night. There's various reasons that they'll go at daytime too. But trust me, in that area, it's better to walk at night.
But you're definitely seeing what, in your assessment, is a communist Chinese organization that is moving Chinese spies and young military age men through this camp system.
Crystal clear, crystal
100%.
Clear, 100%. Like Lushan Zhao. I know you're watching, Lushan. That's the spy. That's Mr. Itchy. He was itching when he came out.
I just know him as Mr. Itchy.
No, his name is Lushan Zhao.
Okay.
Right? And we know a lot about him, right?
Okay.
He told us, your bosses are probably watching Lushan, and so I know that they're seeing how much you actually leaked. So we talked with him for an hour and a half, right? And so he talked about he'd flown to Bahamas and bought a boat with his father. We don't think it was his father, but anyway, but we saw him, we met him. And so he bought a boat for $5,000, he said, from a Scotsman, and he was going to Florida, and he ran out of fuel. And he said he was adrift, and the U.S. Coast Guard picked him up. And now, checking, the U.S. Coast Guard did, in fact, intercept him on March 8th. That's a fact.
Oh, really?
Right? Confirmed, right? And so that's a fact. So he said that the U.S. sent him back to the Bahamas, and he was being deported back to China. And on his connection flight from China, he went through Cuba. And in Cuba, he said he changed his flight to Quito, Ecuador, which is where the Chinese tend to go. And some Chinese definitely go through Bahamas, as he was attempting, and to try to come at night on a boat to Florida. And ran, apparently, he's not a sailor. But he then he took the trip from Quito up to where I finally intercepted him at nighttime. I and some others like Masako Ganaha were there, and actually he threatened her with physical violence.
No kidding. Yeah,
he was in a very angry and an emotional state.
Yeah.
And it was at nighttime. He was itching. He was hungry. He had just come out of the Darien Gap. Now, you might think when somebody's actually physically threatening, as he was, and angry, it's not a good time to question them, but actually it can be.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can drop that anger down and get it to, you know, non-danger levels,
right,
that's when people will talk, when they're in an emotional state. And we did. We talked for an hour and a half, and he talked a lot about...
And his cover story was that he just loves America and always wanted to be American. Yeah.
He had what's called the official accent. The official accent is a kind of a slang term. They have a language school at Luoyang, China. And that Luoyang is where their spies go. The spies who are really going to fit in. Now, I went to the U.S. Military Language School, Defense Language Institute, but we were not learning how to be spies. We were learning how to speak the language, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, if you're going to learn a language that's very different from your own, like Mandarin to English,
right,
or Mandarin to Italian or German, or German to English,
right,
English to German, you need to learn it before puberty if you want to learn it without an accent. Very few people can learn it after after puberty. It's going to be difficult to learn Mandarin to English without an accent, right?
Absolutely.
And so some people that have heard the audios and seen some of the videos say he doesn't have an accent. To me, he clearly has an accent.
An English accent.
When he speaks English, I can tell that
he has a little bit of a Chinese accent.
Very slight.
Okay.
But and then he'll throw out man, and he's got like a lot of our body language and that sort of
stuff.
Right,
right.
But he doesn't always do it perfectly. You got to keep in mind, this is what I do for a living. So
yeah.
I can sort of, and so there's ways to, you know, he was slipping sometimes. He clearly was Chinese. He was admitting he was Chinese. He was admitting that he got the boat and that sort of thing. But
you're saying he was trained in a Chinese spy school, spy language.
I think
school.
He went to Luoyang. I don't have proof of that.
Okay.
But I'm guessing, I've already asked you, Lushan, did you go to Luoyang? He acted like he doesn't know Luoyang.
But. Okay. But aside from this one individual, I think he is just indicative of what you're seeing as many thousands or tens of thousands of individuals who are entering the United States.
Yeah.
And then with the help of Mayorkas, who I believe is a human trafficking trader, by the way, that's my
straight opinion. Up.
Yeah.
No question about it.
With the help of Mayorkas, who should be criminally prosecuted as far as I'm concerned, these people are deposited in cities all across America, right?
Oh, yeah.
They are deposited. Now, I've interviewed previous guests, you know, such as J.R. Nyquist and others, who talk about the pre-staging of police uniforms, portable mortars, ground-to-air missile systems, explosive vests, full auto drop-in triggers for ARs and so on, that are staged by the Communist Chinese in storage across America so that these individuals can have access to that equipment when they're told to start going to war domestically against the U.S. infrastructure.
I don't know of any of that equipment. If I were them, I would be doing it, right?
Yeah.
It's too easy to do.
You don't have firsthand knowledge.
I don't have any firsthand. I do have firsthand knowledge of spies coming across.
Yes.
I mean, I can talk in detail about that.
Yes.
I can talk in detail a lot about that. Actual weapon systems here, I don't know. I mean, let's guess and say it's more than a coin flip that they either have access to them or would easily get them, right?
Well, and let me just add to that, and we'll get back to your area of focus, but I don't know if you've ever met some of my other contacts here in studio, but some of my contacts, you know, former military intelligence and so on, some border operators here in Texas, there will be alerts that go out through Homeland Security of missing weapon systems that they know have crossed the border, and they're trying to track those down. For example, at one point it was like four surface-to-air missile systems that they knew had come into the U.S. Mm-hmm. Or another point, it was a dirty bomb explosive vests that they knew were coming in. And the thing is, I never hear of those being located. I never hear that they found them. Yeah. Now, maybe they find them and then it's all just hush-hush. I don't know, because I don't get super secret information either, mm-hmm. right? But there's stuff that comes across the border, that weapon systems, no question about it.
I'm sure. Keeping in mind, you know, when I was in Special Forces, we went to a lot of sabotage. Our mission, I can say it now because it's been so long, I was on two different A teams. On both of my A teams, our missions were to parachute into Poland and basically do a bunch of sabotage and this sort of thing, right? So basically, in a sense, what some of those guys are getting ready to do. There's different ways to get into different countries. You can do what's called stay behind missions, or you can go in as a tourist, or you can parachute in. That's what we were training to do. But there's getting in there is irrelevant how you do it. You can go like a SEAL and swim up or something, you know. But once you're in there, one of the basic rules of sabotage is never blow up anything or shoot anything that you can burn down.
I remember you saying that before. Yeah.
I mean, that's like 101 sabotage. I know you've noticed, we've talked about it before. I say that rhetorically, how many fires there are.
Burning down food facilities, burning down refineries.
I'm not saying they're doing it, but this is way above level X.
Somebody's burning stuff down.
Right. It's just over the top.
Yeah. Right.
And notice that we never see, unless I'm missing something, I am gone a lot in the jungles. If I'm missing something, please correct me. But I haven't seen the FBI or anybody announcing that, hey, we're doing an investigation into all these extraordinary numbers of fires that happen to be at food processing plants. And that sort of thing, you know, then
they're
Nord
too busy
and
investigating Trump's paper boxes or whatever.
Distraction.
Right. It's all distraction while the real crimes are taking place.
Yeah.
Right here. But do you ever hear talk from these people that are coming in? Do you ever hear them talk about missions once they get in?
No. If they talked about that, I would be very surprised. It'd be like, that would be like capturing light in a jar.
You know? right.
Here's my actual mission. You know, actually, when a lot of these sorts of operations you might not even know your mission, right? Your mission is just to get in.
I see.
Right. Yeah. Your mission might be to just get in. And for instance, Al-Qaeda at one point did this. It was a long, long, long mission. They were to go into a certain place and marry women on this certain section of road and buy shops, and they were funded to do it. And it was a couple of year mission, but they were to assassinate somebody that was going to come in a couple of years at some conference. Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, they may not have actually known actually what their mission was to begin with, just in case you get captured, right? But your first mission is to go in and marry a local girl and start a shop, and we need you on this road right here, right?
So it could be that a lot of these people, maybe they've been trained in People's Liberation Army, you know, training facilities. They're loyal to Communist China. They've been given a mission, get into the U.S., integrate into society, you know, join the corporations, the universities, the local government, whatever, right? And then one day they might get another mission update.
Yeah. I mean, there might not even be a mission for them on the books yet, right? Uh-huh. I mean, for instance, when you make a rifle, you don't really have a mission for it yet. You just know it may go on a mission or it may not.
Right.
I mean, that's, you know, sleepers, right?
Right.
But some of these people coming in are, here's an example of what just happened. You know, as you know, I was just down in Darien again, right? And at this one hotel where many of the Chinese stay, it's called Tenose Hotel, right next to San Vicente Camp.
Okay.
They've got enough money that they stay in the hotel instead of the camp sometimes, right?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah.
So they came in, six military age males, and they asked Margarita, she runs the kitchen, right? And she's made a lot of chicken for me.
Oh yeah.
So they can't, this is a one star hotel. I call it a five star one star because it's nice and clean, but you know, it's a one star hotel.
Right.
You know, like no shower head and no hot water, but you know, it's okay. It's warm, it's dairy.
Right.
And so these Chinese come in and there's chickens running around and they negotiate a price for a chicken. And she's like, well, that's strange, you know, but whatever. And so they ask her if they can cook it themselves, right? And so they go into her kitchen and they chop off the chicken's head and they pour the chicken blood into, you know, six little cups and they drank the blood, right? Now, having been around the world extensively myself, spent more than half of my life downrange in countries like this, I knew that was something. So I said, hold on, the person telling me the story, this was in the restaurant just recently. I said, let me video this. I'm going to put it on Twitter right now and we'll just crowdsource it because we're about to go into the jungle. I didn't have time to, but I knew that this was probably either a special operations unit or a cult type thing, right?
Huh.
And so so we immediately put it up and Dr. Yan, you might know her, virologist and others, immediately, she's a Chinese virologist. She immediately saw it and she immediately found a video of Chinese special forces talking about doing this in Mandarin, right? Drinking chicken blood, right?
Really?
It took all of 2 or 3 hours. She instantly found it and then found, I think, 2 more videos, at least 1 more video.
But for what purpose are they drinking the chicken blood?
You know, this happened, this was why, as soon as I heard the story, I was like, okay, bingo, right? 6 military-age males want to drink chicken blood. This is probably a special forces unit, right?
But this is uncooked.
Well, then they cooked the chicken,
but the blood was liquid.
Straight out of the chicken.
In Chinese culture, it's very common to take, let's say, pig's blood and cook it into a block.
Oh, I've eaten it in China.
Right, and then chop the block into strips, and that can go into soup, like suan la tang is a sweet and sour soup, right? You have like pork blood squares in it. That's common. Yeah,
that's right. You speak Mandarin.
I do.
I remember you were translating.
Yeah.
For me on the phone.
Yeah, suddenly came in useful. it was a handy thing to have. But
you got to go with me to Darien. But yeah, I mean, but drinking it raw, because actually raw, the Chinese that have seen that video, they're like, wow, no, we don't drink raw blood.
Right.
But some cults do it. So I've seen cults do it in like in India. And also some special operations units have done this in the past. Like for instance, in Thailand, they'll drink cobra blood. Right, they'll chop off the cobra's head, and when our soldiers go to Cobra Gold, which is a annual military exercise, they'll often drink cobra blood. And you know, some of the Marines or soldiers don't want to do it, and others will go for it. Right?
Wow.
But anyway, I knew I was onto something, and so I sent that to Dr. Yan and some others, and immediately, there's at least a couple of videos, and they're on my Twitter. Right.
Okay.
So, but that's the sort of thing that's sort of day to day down there, right?
Right.
You see,
and it's red flags. It's like, what's going on?
Massive red flags.
Yeah.
I mean, it's too amazingly obvious that something's wrong, that actual spies are coming in, right? And keep in mind, this is a multiplayer game. This is about 200 Chinese a day coming through the Darien Gap. That's the Darien Gap. A lot of them fly to Cancun and bypass Panama, or some actually will fly to Managua, but mostly they'll go to Cancun or Mexico City. And then, so most of them don't even come through Darien Gap, or they just come in on a tourist visa, that sort of thing, right?
All right, Michael, we have, let's say, 5 minutes left for this segment here. But first of all, I just want to say, number one, I'm blown away by what you're doing. It's incredible. It's remarkable. I'm constantly concerned about your safety, by the way, because you're going into all these areas. I mean, but I know you know how to handle yourself. You're really great with the locals. You know, you don't cause problems. You don't stand out as a touristy type of person. You fit in, you know, and that's your world wisdom.
They can tell I'm not from there, but I do get along with them. Like,
yeah,
I get along.
You do.
At one point, I mentioned to you before, I was having a lunch or dinner with Embra Indians way out in the jungle, right? And these are, they bathe in the river type guys, you know?
Yeah.
And at one point, they're like, you are like Embra Indians. And I'm like, you're like my grandparents. You're just more brown, you know, because I'll eat everything they eat.
Yeah.
But I can spot the crocodiles as fast as they can because I used to catch alligators with my hands and stuff.
Really?
So, yeah. So it's funny when we're on the river and I'm like, okay, let's see who can spot that the crocodiles faster. OIM.
ONU Migration.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You want to walk us through the rip kit?
OIM is basically the... basically the human smuggling arm of the UN, right?
Yep.
This is funded by the United States, the EU, but the United States sends billions of dollars to these people. Now, in other languages, it's IOM. So you might see IOM or OIM, depending. Like, for instance, if you go to Schiphol Airport at Amsterdam and you go into Departures 3, And you walk in, you'll see they've got a ticket desk right up front. Like you can sit in chairs right in front of it and you can watch all these people from around the world getting tickets to places like Quito after they get their Ecuador. So after they get their tickets, ask them where they're going. They'll say things like Quito, because I've done this right over in Amsterdam. So these people are all over the world. They're not just doing this in Colombia and Panama, right? Uh-huh, uh-huh. So they hand out these rape kits in Colombia. And these rape kits contain, this rape kit is not complete because it had already been through the Darien Gap. I got this from San Vicente camp.
Oh, really?
I think it was from a Venezuelan woman. I think she was Venezuelan. I don't remember. I have a video. So here's the female condoms.
So they hand these out.
Yep. And male condoms.
Okay.
Right. And then these, you know, abortion pills.
Abortion pills.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. You can just hold them up to that camera right there.
Okay. Yeah. Four of these. And now not with this kit, or actually this kit also comes with this flashlight, which I dropped it.
Oh, it's a hand crank flashlight. Yeah, there it goes.
It works a little bit, but I've dropped it twice now because
it locks in. Yeah. Ah, there we go.
It'll work again, but I just have to, anyway.
Yeah, like pieces are falling off of it.
It's probably like an $80 flashlight or something. Who knows?
No.
This is like a...
Oh, I think I really broke it just then. Sorry.
I mean, it's worth about 8 cents.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know what I'm saying.
Oh my gosh.
Theft is done with these sorts of...
Oh, and you have the map.
Okay, these maps are handed out at Lajas Blancas. This is after you get through Darien Gap. So this does not come with this kit. This is separate. These maps, let me show the small one first. These maps are handed out right when you get off the boat. Now the Red Cross has tried to hide that they're handing out these maps, and they were trying to cut their name off of one of them.
Really?
Yeah. Now they print them without their name. But this one here, I'll let you.
Okay.
Shows you how to get through.
All right. So this is a map that the Red Cross distributes to people. Sorry, I'm blocking your face with this, but it shows then the pathway of how to make it to the United States through these various countries, and the best ways to get through, with all these explanations of where to go and how to cross the border, where to cross the border, the best places to cross in Texas or California or Arizona, wherever. And it's just like a how-to guide to invade the United States, right?
Oh, yeah. And and they've got all these phone numbers and email addresses and whatnot that show you who to talk. You know, they'll give you legal advice. Like when you go to the United States, demand your human rights, right? And be demanding. They're very clear. They're coaching them to be aggressive. And they are. They're a lot more aggressive than they were a couple of years ago. And a couple of years ago, they were more meek and, you know, more like, oh, I would like to go. Now they're like, I have a right to go to America. You know, they're especially Chinese are very, and Chechens are straight up dangerous.
Okay, so they're being coached of the correct things to say to be granted asylum.
To be aggressive and to don't talk with media. I mean, some of them will talk and they'll be like, oh, we were told not to talk with, oh, will talk. But
so the invaders are aggressive, but the American, the border patrol, the soldiers, the cops are all told, stand down, don't be aggressive, be passive, let them in.
Just doing their duty, right?
Right. Yeah,
they're like little clock, sorry about that, little gears in a clock. Now this map is very detailed, and it's got...
Here, you hold that side, I'll hold this side.
And you can get your own map. There's a QR code on here if we could maybe give that to people somehow.
Well, we're not going to be able to zoom in enough on that.
And there's a QR code on the back as well. But that QR code's actually on my Twitter somewhere.
Okay.
And so all these numbers, like some of them are up in Arizona and Texas. Like once you get inside, you know, you can call this place and they'll help you, like Catholic Charities and that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Wow.
And all these numbers coincide with numbers here with their contact information.
I've heard there's a wealthy Texan that has a 1,000-acre ranch or something. It's just all kinds of illegals are welcome there. He's basically setting up a camp, like a San Vicente camp in Texas. Mm. You heard that?
Nope, but I'll find it and I'll go there. And they can't keep us out. You know how they can't keep us out? Because they don't know who the migrants are. They know I'm not, but we play by big rules. You know what I mean?
These are advice on the best way to to get there.
This is interesting. This says, you know, don't get drunk and drive, you know, ride on the top of the train.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It's in English.
Oh, yep. And don't get bit by a rattlesnake. Watch out for scorpions.
Yep. Another QR code. These QR codes are on somewhere on my Twitter. Yeah. All these people that are facilitating this, you know, you might think that the no trespassing sign will keep us out, but it won't, because guess what we'll do? We'll find some of these migrants and we'll hire them as journalists and we'll get everything, right? And we'll publish it, right? And it's perfectly legal because they'll be journalists, right? And you don't, they've all got phones and all these people are going to be outed. This is part of a huge infrastructure, by the way. Todd Bensman and I were just 2 days ago, we were over north of Houston and near Plum Grove. On the first day, we were on the ground, and it's just a huge colonia, right? Somebody had bought about 20,000 acres, and then just we were told just bought 35,000 more, right? And it was so big. I mean, it's huge. That's like many, many square miles, right? And we couldn't see it very well from the ground. It's just too huge. I mean, you can see all the trailers that are already there. It's a colonia. Colonia in Spanish means colony, right? Right. And so basically, colonization. And so one elected official told us recently that he believes 200,000 people will eventually live there, right? In that one area, right? 200,000. And easily, you could easily have 200,000. So the next day,
that's like the entire Ukrainian army in terms of numbers. You know what I mean?
And that's just one, right?
Right.
And you saw the Department of Homeland Security just announced handing out $290 million to communities affect anyway, but there's a lot of money flying around to facilitate this. But that first day we went, it's just too vast. And so I said, let's go get an airplane. So we got an airplane. So 2 days ago we flew above it, but we could only get to 1800 feet because the clouds were a little low. And so, but still from 1800 feet, it was just too big. We couldn't get it all in.
No kidding.
But some of the videos are on Todd Bensman's Twitter as well.
Okay, let me.
It was actually Todd's idea to go there because Todd put this in the last chapter of his book. There's a whole chapter about this colony.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the name of his book?
His book. It's a great book. His book is called Overrun. And in the last chapter, it talks about Liberty County. This is in Liberty County, Texas, by Houston, right? He goes into detail about the owner and all. And his name's Trey Harris. And he goes into all this great details about the lawsuits. In fact, if you look online, I just put on Twitter one of the lawsuits this morning.
Wow.
He's a litigious guy, right?
Well, hold on. Let's wrap up this segment with you. We'll do more, but I want to give out your Locals address and your Twitter account. So Locals, I know it's Michael Yon, Y-O-N, .locals.com, right?
That's right.
And what's your Twitter address?
And Twitter is Michael_Yon at Twitter. And I'm on Getter and what's it? Michael Yon 1776.
Okay.
And some others like Truth. But I actually just go into Locals and Twitter, and then somebody feeds it out to the other feeds.
I
don't see comments over
and
there.
And they haven't banned you on Twitter yet, huh?
That's weird.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Twitter
they used
bans.
To shadow ban me, but.
Well, they
you're banned.
Right? I'm still permanently banned on Twitter. But we notice, and Steve Bannon pointed this out, that Twitter bans anybody who threatens communist China. And you're exposing.
I've threatened communist China like 1,000 times. I got kicked out of Hong Kong. If you web search my name and Hong Kong, you'll see the police taking me to the airport and shutting the door and making me leave after 7 months, right?
This is a pattern, Michael. There, multiple times, certain people want you to leave certain countries.
Yeah.
Because you're shining a light on what's going on.
It was touchy in Hong Kong. I mean, because you can obviously disappear there or anywhere for that matter.
Yeah.
Panama would be too easy, right? Because you're out in the jungle.
Exactly.
That sort of thing.
Okay. All right. We'll do more. But this is already very alarming and extraordinary information. I just want to remind people you're watching this on Brighteon.com. I'm the founder of Brighteon Free Speech Network. Michael Yon returning from the Darien Gap and many other places. And Michael's someone that we wholeheartedly support in his efforts to shine the light on this. Folks, we're talking about published maps, invasion maps of how to get into America. We're talking about rape kits, abortion pills handed out to the even young women. Teenage girls get these kits too, because they get raped and robbed. And we're talking about the United Nations, which is this OIM organization, and the United States, as Michael Yon said here, funding these operations for the invasion of America. That's what's going on right now. And you've seen it firsthand and You're reporting it.
I've seen it outside the egg, which is like Darien Gap and Morocco and these other places and Colombia and all of that. I call that outside the egg. In the egg shell is the border, and then we're inside the egg.
Wow. Okay. All right. All right. We'll have more from Michael Yon in the follow-up segment. Keep watching and checking here on Brightown.com for more videos. And thank you for your support. I'm Mike Adams. God bless America. Thank you for watching. Take care. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Today's interview is brought to you by the wonderful folks at the Satellite Phone Store. SAT123 gets you there. And they make satellite phones affordable. Everybody needs them. 50 U.S. senators now have satellite phones just like these. They've got Inmarsat as well as Iridium phones, very affordable on a monthly plan that includes minutes that roll over. And you can also do two-way satellite text messaging with the Bivy sticks here. They have packages with solar generators, solar panels, Faraday bags, Bivy sticks, and so much more. You can even get big systems here where you can power a lot and store a lot of energy. Check it all out at the Satellite Phone Store, SAT123.com. Get ready because, of course, the media is already talking about solar flares, EMP, and grid down scenarios. I wonder what they have planned. A little predictive programming being pushed out there, it seems. So get ready now while you can. And thanks for supporting our sponsors.